Sandile Swana, political analyst. Good morning. How are you doing?
Well, good morning, Howard. I hope you're doing well.
I am indeed. Is this something that we can just anticipate happening month after month after month?
Yes, I think, Howard, and your listeners, you have to now understand that the South African strategy of dealing with COVID-19 does take us to a position where month after month we will have an extension of the state of disaster. Because the programs that have been installed from the start, each one of them has not really been an outright success.
Right.
So whether it's the program of non-pharmaceutical interventions, it has not worked. Even the hard lockdown has not worked in terms of public health. It has not worked economically, and so on. So they don't have a program that is decisive.
So as a result of that, what does this mean? That they need to keep control through a disaster management ability to just regulate?
Yes, that is correct. So if you, I'm sure you're quite clear about this, that you can lead people. If people have got faith in you and your leadership, you speak the word and people follow and do what you are saying. You don't need an army. You don't need laws. Hmm. You lead the hearts and minds of the people. Right. In South Africa, you do not have a credible leadership, whether it is the cabinet or parliament, municipal council, which is why even the vaccination program, there are so many stories out there, and there is not a single leader in South Africa who is able to stand up and say, guys, let's just vaccinate. We've done the due diligence as leaders, and we're satisfied that this is the correct way to go. We don't have an influential leader or leaders who are trusted. So any charlatan in South Africa can lead this nation in any direction at any time.
And the best way to do that, if you can't lead, as you're saying, through inspiration, is to lead with very strict or draconian laws.
Yes, people who know the history of this country, and a lady called Helen Suzman, who was a member of parliament, and she made this point to the National Party at the time, which was in power. She said, it is a clear sign that your leadership is failing when you have to lead the nation year in, year out under a state of emergency. And eventually the National Party government collapsed. The ANC for the time being has put us under a state of disaster from month to month for the time being. But with the riots in KZN that have happened, KZN and Gauteng, the insurrection and all that that has happened, we've now seen soldiers being almost permanently in shopping malls, etc., etc. So it's a clear sign that against major threats to the population, whether those threats are public health threats, biosecurity threats, or other types of physical threats to the population, our government has no answers other than to institute draconian laws and use force rather than inspiration.
Is there a difference between a state of disaster and a state of emergency?
I think the state of disaster, in legal terms there is, but for you and I as citizens, you when you are under curfew, you are in a state of emergency.
Absolutely. That's why I was asking the question. Absolutely.
Yes. So legally, the way they've approached it is clever for their public relations and everything else to say this is not a state of emergency, it's a state of disaster. It's better than what the National Party used to do. But we are, and so their job as the state is to protect the population from any threat. That threat can be biosecurity, it can be a virus, it can be chemical warfare, it can be anything that threatens the population. They've got to do that. And they've got an assortment of tools to do that.
Mm.
One of those is the state of disaster, the other one being a state of emergency. The other one is just normal police operations, normal Department of Health operations, and using early warning systems so that you do not have a state of emergency and you do not have a state of disaster. So from a citizen's point of view, my view is that what you experience on a day-to-day basis between a state of disaster and a state of emergency, there's little difference.
Which is very, very worrying. Moira says, and it's a good point, she says, so the strategy is not working, so we need to continue it indefinitely.
Yes. And let's add that you will be aware that there are nations such as Taiwan and others who took very early action to actually bring the COVID-19 infections close to zero very early on. And China as well did similar things and so on and so forth. So there are nations that have been able to contain this thing as close to zero as possible. So the strategy, indeed, as your colleague says, when you have a strategy that is working in the nations, and we have tended to align ourselves with our colonial masters who've made a disaster, America and the British. We've made a disaster of COVID-19, and we followed them in their disaster. And then our solution is to continue the disaster strategies that we've implemented.
And in fact, it doesn't even work for other reasons as well, because as you said before, the insurrection, the looting, all of that wasn't curtailed by curfew. You know, nobody listened to the fact that you were on curfew because of COVID, so you couldn't be part of another criminal type of activity. So in fact, it really is just a foolish way to continue. In my view, but your thoughts?
Yes. No, you see, the thing about it, you know, I'll tell you two stories about this. My view is that the population itself is not fully behind whatever the government is saying. I'll give you an illustration. Last week, I went to see a guy who prepares farming equipment, who manufactures farming equipment for farming bees. And I had a chat with him. After the chat, he was so happy that he said, Sandile, I've got to shake your hand. And he did shake my hand. Now, this is a gentleman in his 70s. Now, that idea that we must shake hands is clear to me that he does not believe in what you call, in what has been said, that you must not shake hands. And I visited another chicken farmer north of Pretoria, and he asked me a question, Sandile, don't you think this thing is just a political ploy? This is a white African-speaking farmer. This is a political ploy to just control us. So clearly the leadership messages that has been going out are not filtering through, and people think that we're being led up a garden path by our own government. All of those factors are causing the whole strategy to be totally ineffective.